Alan Klein was like no one the music industry had seen before. The hard-nosed business manager became infamous for allegedly causing the Beatles' breakup and robbing the Rolling Stones. But the truth is more complex and more fascinating, according to Fred Goodman in his new book, Alan Klein. The man who bailed out the Beatles, made the Stones, and transformed rock and roll. As the manager of the Stones and then the Beatles, not to mention Sam Cooke, The Who, Donovan, The Kinks, and numerous other performers, he taught young, soon-to-be legends how to be businessmen as well as rock stars. Again, the title of the book is Alan Klein. Fred Goodman is the author, and it's a great pleasure to welcome veteran music journalist Fred Goodman to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. Great pleasure.
Thanks so much for having me.
Very nice to have you here. What got you on this topic and wanting to look into the life of this man?
Well, I've been covering the music business as a reporter for many years, and I actually, you know, Alan Klein, of course, was a name that I had heard growing up, you know, as a Beatles and Rolling Stones fan, but you never heard anything good. You know, he's sort of the guy who, you know, broke up the Beatles and robbed the Rolling Stones was pretty much the story you heard. And as I continued to cover the business, you know, I was eventually approached by Alan Klein's son after Klein had died. And he said to me, look, you know, a lot was written about my dad. You know, some of it was true and some of it wasn't true. You know, would you have any interest, you know, in taking a look at his career if we opened up, you know, our files to you? And we're willing to show you, you know, what we have, which is all the Beatles and Rolling Stones contracts and all the litigation and all the correspondence and, you know, all the other artists in business as well. And it will just be, you know, let the pieces fall where they may. We're willing to have someone who understands the business take a look at it. And you know, for someone to say, you know, would you like to go through the Beatles and Rolling Stones contracts? You know, for somebody in my business, that's kind of like the school nobody gets to go to. So, of course, I said yes.
So give us a little bit of an outline, a thumbnail sketch of how he came into this business, of being a business manager in the music industry.
Well, Klein was an accountant by training, and he was he made a name for himself as sort of a gunslinger. You know, he was the guy that you hired if you wanted to go in and really do a serious top-to-bottom audit and chase down your record company. And he, you know, would find lots of money. I mean, I had a conversation with Lloyd Price, you know, the singer from the early 60s, who said in 1961 Alan found him $60,000, you know, that his record company and music publisher hadn't paid him, and that was like a fortune at the time. So his reputation was that, you know, and Klein promoted himself very, very much. You know, there's a famous story that he met Bobby Darin at a wedding, and Bobby Darin says, hi, I'm Bobby Darin, and Alan sticks out his hand and says, I can get you $100,000. So that was his thing, and he did that for Sam Cooke, and he did it so well that Sam Cooke asked him to be his manager. So that was the beginning of him managing, you know, being a business manager for acts and not just an accountant.
And on that, what was he able to do? Why was he able to make so much money for his clients and ultimately changing the music industry, the model?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, what he did was he kind of swings the balance of power away from the record companies and towards the artists, you know. He recognizes, because of his background in accounting, you know, that the record labels are systematically, first of all, shortchanging artists. And, you know, he also understands where money is made, you know, in the process, that the artists are making pennies while the labels are making dollars. And he turns around and he says to the artists, look, you have a lot of leverage that you're not using. So he's the first guy who basically goes in and says things to the record companies like, if we don't have a new deal, there'll be no more records from this artist. We don't care if we have a contract. You can sue us because we know your contract is really unfair and no court's going to stand behind you.
At what point was he in his career when he met the Beatles?
Well, he was already very well established when he met the Beatles, and he had been, you know, pursuing them for years. He had been managing the business affairs of the Rolling Stones for about 4 or 5 years at the point where he gets involved with the Beatles, and he had done other bands like the Kinks and the Animals and Herman's Hermits, and he had, you know, quite the reputation. He was really the guy to see to, A, negotiate a top-of-the-market contract, because he had gotten the Rolling Stones $2.5 million at a time when the Beatles were splitting a penny a record 4 ways on a single. So his deals were considered so far ahead, and people wanted to use him. The Beatles, you know, got into a bit of a financial tangle after the death of their first manager, Brian Epstein. You know, they didn't have a manager for about 2 years, and they started Apple. You know, and the Apple company was a huge financial sinkhole. And John Lennon gave an interview in which he said if something didn't happen with Apple, he was going to be broke in 6 months. And Klein used that as sort of his entree to get to meet Lennon and to present himself.
As part of that, there was a, and you describe this in the book, there's just some incredible clashes between Klein and the Beatles, especially Paul McCartney. What was it about the two that they had such this tumultuous relationship?
Well, you know, Klein had identified, you know, he'd made a study of the Beatles, and he knew everything there was he thought to know about the Beatles to get their business, and he did. You know, and he felt that John Lennon was the person that he had to establish his relationship with. I don't think he realized, you know, the depth of, you know, the division between Paul McCartney and John Lennon at that point. You know, and Paul McCartney was at that point, you know, he had met Linda Eastman, and Linda's father and brother were New York attorneys, well-established, her father, Lee Eastman, and John, the son, had worked for the band Chicago, and, you know, Paul wanted the Eastmans to handle the Beatles affair. Well, you know, as far as John Lennon was concerned, this was never going to happen. You know, he would never let Paul McCartney's family run the Beatles. And vice versa, you know, McCartney didn't like that Lennon was making his choice and also didn't trust Klein, you know, did not like Klein. So the thing was, okay, you know, he can manage the Beatles, but he doesn't manage me. And from that, it later evolved to, I don't want him managing the Beatles.
As you mentioned, he was pursuing the Beatles for an awful long time, and this had an impact on his relationship with the Rolling Stones, who he had been working with and had been doing a very nice job, but the relationship eventually soured because he was taking on the Beatles as a client.
Well, yes, it soured because he's taking on the Beatles as a client, and he has really no time for the Rolling Stones. And, you know, frankly, you know, it's like the Beatles were his white whale. He pursued them, and that was really all he kind of cared about. And once he got them, you know, he had an enormous amount of work to do for them. I mean, just taking apart Apple and dealing with all their record contracts and publishing and film deals, that when the Rolling Stones came to him in 1969 and said, look, we have an American tour going, he's like, he really was not available to them. And I think that's also the beginning of the end. Of course, later on, you know, they later go back and decide that they, you know, gave Klein too much financial control and he took too big a piece. So you have like two decades of litigation back and forth between the two sides where they're arguing over the deals that were originally signed.
There is still this perception. I mean, you talk about this at the beginning of our conversation about this idea of some villainy on his part of looked at as a guy in a black hat. But your picture is much different in the sense that you also give him his props.
Yeah, look, Klein was no angel, you know. I mean, first of all, he went to jail, you know, on a tax charge relating to selling promotional records. He spent 2 months in jail. And on top of that, you know, when you look at the deals, you can say, yes, he took too big a piece. You know, but the fact of the matter is it's a period of time when everybody in the business took too big a piece if they could. The deals that were done then, no one would do now, you know. And in fact, when he comes in for the Rolling Stones, he tells the Rolling Stones original managers that their piece is too big. And he gives the Rolling Stones, you know, a bigger percentage of the records than they were getting from their original managers. Same with Marianne Faithfull, who told me her royalty rate went from 2% to 12% when Alan came in, you know. So there is that in a sense of what'll work and what'll be fair. And the deals he's making are much bigger. But at the end of the day, he doesn't necessarily educate his clients enough as you would hope a business manager would. And I certainly don't believe that they understood all the ways that he was getting rich.
And that idea of all the ways that he was getting rich, I guess that speaks to his genius as to seeing all of those possibilities.
Yeah, you know, it's more like, in my mind, it's kind of like, you know, when you go to a bank and you ask for a mortgage and they tell you what your mortgage deal is, but they don't tell you all the ways that they're going to make money later. They just tell you what the terms are. Klein was a little bit like that. You know, he would say, sure, I can get you this great deal. You know, if you were a young artist, a Mick Jagger, a Keith Richards, you know, Alan Klein would say, what do you want? And you know, being 22 years old and being 1964, 1963, they would probably, you know, think of the biggest number they could and say something like, I'd like $1 million. You know, well, I mean, those guys make $1 million every night now, you know, playing stadiums. So, you know, at the time, it's the biggest number they can think of. But if you're their financial manager, it kind of behooves you to say, that's the wrong thing to ask for. Not just to say, yes, I'll get you $1 million, and then think about all the money they're leaving on the table that you're going to figure out ways to get a piece of.
You mentioned the jail time, and of course that tarnished his reputation. So when we look at legacy, what do you think it is?
Well, I think, I hope that the book will kind of, you know, have people look at him in a different way and take that legacy and say, look, we've thought of this guy as a cartoon villain in the past. He's much more complicated. He really was a brilliant businessman. He really was a strategist. He really opened up a lot for artists in terms of not just money, but control over their careers, you know, getting reversion of their albums and recordings at the end of contracts. He really pioneered a lot of these things. And you wonder, gee, you know, could the business use a person like that right now? You know, when you see Taylor Swift battling, you know, Apple, or, you know, the issues that artists have with Spotify and other streaming services,
right,
where they really can't get, you know, the kind of money they feel they're entitled to.
Well, the name of the book is Alan Klein, the man who bailed out the Beatles, made the Stones, and transformed rock and roll. It's published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. Fred Goodman, thank you very much for spending time with us. A great pleasure.
Thanks a lot, Joe.
Thanks very much. Again, the title of the book is Alan Klein, the man who bailed out the Beatles, made the Stones, and transformed rock and roll. Fred Goodman is the author. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
You say you want a revolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world. You tell me that it's evolution. Well,